Dominic Albanese, delivered by TriStar Moving 1025, 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the losses of Amanda J. Gentry. Live from Bridgestone Arena, Preds and Edmonton Oilers tonight. Tough one for the Preds last night. Caroline Fenton is here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how you doing?
Outstanding. Ian's here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
Okay, so we got a lot to get into today. I want to start with this baby right here, Mike Sando from The Athletic. You know what's so funny is I do the show. I know the way the Titans have handled things lately. Like, I know that that's been bad. Like, I know that that, you know, we've talked about it every single day, and everybody in town has a take, and it's either one of two takes, right? It's either way to go, Amy, because John stinks, or it was, I don't know what they were thinking. And yet, it feels like everybody who is outside of the Titans bubble unanimously thinks what the Titans have done to themselves is redonkulous. Whether it is the actual move they made, whether it is, you know, the timing about which they did it. And good old Mike Sando, who's got his unidentified league sources. Mike Sando at The Athletic, he used to be at ESPN for forever. He'd put out these great pieces where everybody who talks to Mike Sando is an unnamed blank, like an unnamed scout, league executive, coach. You know, he does those quarterback tiers every year, and he provides anonymity because then it makes those people feel confident that they can say what they want to say. And remember that Mike Sando was the one that gave us that breakdown where that AFC executive years ago, 2 years ago it is, said that the Titans were crazy for drafting Caleb Farley because, hey, we looked at those medicals and they were terrible. And we brought that up and we discussed it and people got mad at us. Oh, man, were they mad. Because they were like, don't talk about it. Caleb Farley's going to be fine. He's going to be a great player. Go Titans. Go team. Go. You know what I mean? So, anywho, Mike Sando's got a new piece out at The Athletic. And we got a bunch. We got Sando's takes on the Titans. We got a former GM's take on the Titans. We've got a former head coach on the Titans. We've got a longtime executive on the Titans. We have a current executive on the Titans. And we have a former Titans employee on the Titans. So, do we want to get to what Sando said, or do we want to start on what all the former or current or unnamed league people are saying about the situation the Titans find themselves in?
Sando.
Okay, so the headline, Titans could become Texans if they're not careful. Let me say this. How many times have I told you I'm scared of going back to the Ken Whisenhunt and Mike Munchak era?
A lot.
The idea of just...
You are afraid of that.
Just zero. I mean, the season's over in October. The team stinks. Jake Locker's your quarterback. It's 90% visiting fans in the stadium. I don't want that anymore. Mike Sando writes at The Athletic, quote, the Titans' three-game losing streak, since they wrote an article about how great of a coach Vrabel is, might normally be seen as a bump in the road for a coach and a franchise that reliably has exceeded expectations. But with the surprise firing of general manager John Robinson last week, Titans ownership would be wise to consider what can be learned from one of the worst franchises in the league. The Houston Texans produced 5 winning records in 6 full seasons under Vrabel's friend and former boss Bill O'Brien, only to implode after the coach amassed all of the power, leaving 2 GMs in his wake. So that's what Sando writes. Former general manager says, quote, Vrabel is following the Bill O'Brien playbook to a T, a former GM said on the condition of anonymity in order to speak freely on the subject. I don't see it that way, another exec said. People who think that are missing the whole major point in this whole thing. Sando continues, Vrabel was indeed convincing in explaining he was out of the loop on this franchise-altering decision. Whatever the case, the Titans might look back on this period as the moment when a recently successful franchise became a more volatile one. Robinson might be departing at the right time. So you see how one executive says, I mean, I think it's a total power play for Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
And another executive's like, I don't think it was a power play for Vrabel. I mean, people in the league, like these are league people that don't know, that are like, I mean, I think Vrabel pulled it off. One person didn't. And then Sando writes, quote, there is almost no scenario by which this turn of events reflects well on the Titans. If Vrabel won some sort of power play with Robinson, the way that O'Brien outlasted former Texans GM Rick Smith and Brian Gain, that would be bad for Tennessee. Under that scenario, the Titans would be more valuable to the whims of a single individual who, despite his success as a head coach, has less experience in the league in operational matters. They might be more vulnerable to that anyway, depending on who Adam Strunk hires in Robinson's place. Former head coach says, quote, "Be careful what you wish for as an owner." This is a former GM. Mm-hmm. "Be careful what you wish for as an owner. Don't go giving your head coach carte blanche, especially when they are a strong-minded guy." Let me say this. I stand with that claim. I like Mike Vrabel. I think Mike Vrabel's the best coach in the NFL. I absolutely do not want Mike Vrabel getting total control of the Tennessee Titans. So that's step number one. A longtime executive in the NFL said, quote, "I examine what Vrabel says carefully, and most of it is the truth. There is some obvious coach speak he's got to say, but also he delves into some other parts where it gets personal and you know it's true." A current executive with another team said, quote, "They are probably going to hire some first-time guy the coach approves of because that is just the way these things go. When the owner gives these soft answers, it's usually because someone has convinced them. It hardly ever works when someone is the power coach. You can easily make the case Vrabel hasn't coached long enough to learn the intricacies of personnel, player acquisition, trade, and free agent markets, not to mention the salary cap and all the other things GMs do that go way beyond the draft. Everyone will say he's going to get help, but," and again, this is a league executive speaking on the condition of anonymity, "this is classic, only the people I trust." A current coach, so this is a current coach in the NFL. Quote, "People are saying the major players in the whole narrative are John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. A coach from another team said, quote, I don't see it that way. The major player is the majority owner who no one knows anything about. She dropped the hammer on a guy who, by all accounts, is doing no better or worse than any of the other guys who have been in the league as long as he has. What is her angle? What is she not happy with? Where does she see this going? If you take it from the perspective of Vrabel is orchestrating it, then that is the answer. But if you take it from the perspective of the owner is not happy and is trying to do something bigger, it's different. Theoretically, even Vrabel could be on the outs if this person is unhappy," which is kind of true, right? I mean, like, you know.
Those are all fair questions to ask. What are you unhappy with? What's the end goal here?
Former Titans executive in this article. Basically, Sando talked to two former Titan employees who said that they remind that this action that Amy took last week reminds them of Bud, which I've only been talking about for an entire week now, that this was a Bud Adams at his worst kind of move. And a former Titans employee said, quote, and I don't know, this could be somebody who serves the popcorn. This could be Jeff Fisher. I have no idea who it is. And they want it that way. Quote, "She did that interview from her desk where she reminded me a lot of Bud when she said, I knew my mind was made up, so why wait? One of the former employees said, I just don't see how it gives you an advantage doing this now. If you are going to make the playoffs, if you are not making the playoffs, then doing it now gives you an advantage. It shows you are taking action, and now you're going to find the next person to lead the franchise. Of course, as we know, the Titans are going to make the playoffs." So, long story short, these are what people who honestly, in my opinion, really don't give a rat's ass about the Titans. I mean, this other coach, and I don't know who the, you know, anonymous coach is, but he doesn't care about the Titans. I mean, this executive, longtime former GM, former Titan, they don't care. But it's somebody asking him saying, hey, this is apparently what went down. What do you make of it? And every single person is bad, 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 bad. Like, the comparison to Bud Adams kind of stands out to me. Mm-hmm. Because Bud Adams, and I am forever grateful to Bud Adams for moving the Titans to Nashville. I think Bud Adams should be in the Hall of Fame. He started the AFL. He was part of the process in which the AFL merged with the NFL. And so I think, you know, Bud Adams deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But the story surrounding Bud Adams is a lot of the things he did was bad. And nobody wants to say that because you don't want to speak ill will of the dead or anything like that. But, like, Bud Adams screwed up a lot of stuff. Like, for the most part, a lot of the ineptitudes were because of bad decisions, especially impulsive ones that Bud Adams made, like firing Bum Phillips or firing Floyd Reese or whatever. And so I say all of this to say, like, this Sando thing confirms how I believe, which is that no matter which way of the pie this ends up being sliced, whether it was Vrabel who led a power play And he has done a fantastic job of making us think that he had nothing to do with it. Whether it was Amy at the Philadelphia game, even though she denies this, getting flipped off by the Philadelphia fans and saying, I've had enough of watching AJ dominate us, and so I'm firing John Robinson. Whether it is she was just mad long-term over the drafts and just decided why not and impulsively fired the guy. And because of that, now the team is left picking up the pieces, and we saw how that looked on Sunday. Just like these executives and everybody in the Mike Sando article lay it out, it's bad, 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 bad. They all said it's bad. Former coach, bad. Executive, bad. Titans employee, bad. Current league executive, bad. Longtime executive, bad. There isn't a single one thing in here that's like, I can see where she was coming from on this. And this is what scares me. The headline that the Titans could be becoming the Texans. Because I remember 3 years ago when the Houston Texans, who are the worst team in the league, and have been unwatchable for the last 2 years and this year included, so that's three. But I remember when they were up 24-0 on the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC divisional round in 2019. I remember that. And it was actually 2020, the calendar year that we were in. It was the 19th season. And the article, Titans could become the Texans if they're not careful. That scares me. The reality is, the more that I've listened to other people, the people that aren't just like, yeah, screw the Caleb Farley pick and the Julio Jones trade. The ones that we called into this radio show and said, you're wrong, Jared. You're wrong, Jared. Julio's going to take us to the next level. Those people are just as impulsive as it looks like this decision might have been. The reality for the football team is everybody in the league and people that have been in the league are looking at the Titans thinking, what the hell are you guys doing? And now, because the dust has settled, and I feel like because the dust has settled, now it's not so much a, can you believe it? It's a, yeah, this isn't going to work out for the Titans. And that's how I'm starting to feel. That's how I've been feeling. I think Sunday was an indication of where this could be headed. And I've told you guys, I don't want to go back to the Ken Whisenhunt era. I don't want to go back to the Mike Munchak era. I don't want to go back to the Vince Young throwing his pads in the stands. You know, John McClain in the Football Life documentary on the 1993 Oilers said that if the Oilers, and Bud Adams made a threat to everybody that if they didn't win the Super Bowl in 93, he was going to blow the team up. And that's exactly what happened. They moved on from Warren Moon and went to Cody Carlson. But at the end of that documentary, John McClain said, that if they had beaten Joe Montana and the Kansas City Chiefs in that one playoff game at the Astrodome, then the city of Houston would have built Bud Adams his new stadium. And it was obvious that it was personal because as soon as Bud Adams left town, they paid even more money to get the Texans a stadium. And so I look at this and I'm like, man, this feels like where we're headed. And everybody is saying it. And there's just too many of you out there that have called into this show and have texted into this show that don't want to admit it. But right here, again, former GM, former executive, current longtime executive, current coach saying, hey, if you take it from the perspective that Vrabel is orchestrating this, then he's the answer. But if it's not, even Vrabel could be on the hot seat. And who's to say Vrabel's not on the hot seat, given what we didn't see coming last week? So that's how we're starting. 615-737-1025. The Mike Sando article is out right now. And again, former executive, former GM, longtime executive, current executive, former Titans employees. And there's not one positive thing that's been said about this. Holy mackerel. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And then here's the other thing. People around the league really hinted at a power struggle between Robinson and Vrabel. And then Vrabel came out and he said, no power play. Amy commented on it. Are we buying it? We'll get into that. And your phones, 615-737-1025, live from Bridgestone Arena, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
I saw on social media that, Mike gave Amy an ultimatum. That is just so false. That it never happened. People that say that, don't know Mike Vrabel. That would not be something he would say or do. And he actually had a great relationship with John. So I want to put that to rest right now.
That was Amy Adams Strunk talking to the AP. And right there, that was the, I promise this was not a power struggle between Vrabel and Robinson. And yet, Mike Sando in The Athletic talks to a former general manager. He talks to another former general manager. He talks to a former coach. He talks to a current coach. He talks to a former Titans employee. He talks to an executive. And there's kind of a 50-50 feeling as to whether or not this was a power play and Vrabel was involved. So, let me ask this question. Do you think Vrabel was involved in this? Do you think this was a power play? And that even though we're told up and down, they swear that that's not what it was. You heard Amy Adams Strunk say, you don't know Mike Vrabel. If you think Mike Vrabel would do that, I mean, I hate to say it, like, I think I know Mike Vrabel. I didn't rule it out when it first happened. So I hate to say that. Do we think that it's almost like, here's my bigger question, honestly, more so than just Vrabel. Keep Vrabel in this, but do we think somebody's lying somewhere along the way? Like, that it's not about what happened in the Eagles game, that it's not about a power struggle between Vrabel and Robinson, that it is as simple as Amy Adams Strunk got fed up with the drafting and the trading and the money and everything else and just decided to fire the general manager at the least opportune time?
I do think that could absolutely be in play, but that's and this is the difficult thing, because I don't feel confident in saying this is what I think happened. Because of all of the theories and scenarios and potential things that could have gone down behind the scenes, I think all of them are on the table and all of them could make sense. Because I'm trying to rationalize a decision made by Amy Adams Strunk that I just don't think is very rational. So I do think that there could have been foul play involved, where Mike Vrabel just got to the point where he said, I can't win games with the players that you have given me.
Well, if it's the second part, if it's just the irrational decision.
And I do think that
if it is that, then the Titans are in deep trouble.
And that's what scares me, is I'm trying to find some reason, a la potentially Mike Vrabel getting involved and giving an ultimatum, or potentially saying, I cannot win with John Robinson, because I'm giving Amy Adams Strunk more of the benefit of the doubt. Because I don't believe that she would make such a rash and impulsive decision in the middle of the season if there were no outside factors.
I mean, I it's one of three things. Four if you count the Green Bay plane, which I'm going to be honest, Joe Retro take shamed me on the Green Bay plane thing. And the more, like, this Green Bay plane thing does not, people who have coached in football or have been general managers in football or who have, you know, have infinitely more experience than Joe are not ruling out the Green Bay plane.
I'm not ruling out the Green Bay plane.
So when Joe take shames us about the Green Bay plane, just remember that. I mean, even Lombardi. Ian, can we get that Lombardi where he was on Mad Dog on Friday? And this is Mike Lombardi, who worked with Belichick in Cleveland, and he was the general manager with the Raiders, and he went back to the Patriots, and he worked for Belichick there. I mean, he's a longtime football guy. Now, Floyd, you know, was not a Lombardi fan. But this is what Lombardi said on Mad Dog on Friday about this.
I think for Tennessee, look, they're not a talented team. They fired their general manager this week. If you go through
the
draft,
why'd they do that?
I would think, to me, this is more about the plane ride home from Green Bay after they won that game. There's a rule that you're not allowed to have alcoholic beverages on the plane, okay? And what happened, I think, ultimately, Todd Dowling got a DUI on his way home. That's fact. So something happened on that airplane. And the guy who's in charge of controlling those things, who's put in charge by the ownership group, is the general manager. So
Why did you wait 2 weeks and not fire right on the spot, if that's the case?
Well, I think they did an investigation. I think the league's been investigating it, too. I think the league went into it. Now, we'll hear something. It's the same thing like when we had this conversation about Dan Snyder, and I said that Goodell's working behind the scenes to get this sold because we know it's going to be bad. We find out yesterday how bad it is. And so we know he's going to sell the team now. So there's things that happen behind the scenes that don't always necessarily come right out. If he was going to get fired for bad drafts, which he's had a lot of bad drafts, he would have been fired. He would have been fired in the offseason. But they gave him a contract extension in the offseason. So something triggered the firing.
So, I mean, like, that's what a football. So Joe can sit there and be like, you guys don't know anything. But clearly football people are talking about the Green Bay plane. So it's either power struggle. Mm-hmm. Green Bay plane. Mm-hmm. The owner got mad about Philadelphia, or the owner just decided right then and there that was that. The only scenario, like, and I'm not rooting for this, the only scenario with which I don't think the Titans are poorly run is the Green Bay plane. Like, the misconduct element of, hey, he did it, or he did something he wasn't supposed to do, or he lied about something, or an investigation turned up something. Like, if that's the case, fine, then you got to go. But if it's just as simple as the owner got mad during the Philadelphia game because the Philly fans were turning around and flipping her the bird during the game, well, I don't want that person in charge of making major decisions for the franchise going forward. And there's no way to veto that person out of office. I mean, she's in there. And that's the scary part about all this is whatever it may have been, the end result is 99% of the time bad for what's next for the football team. And I think I'm kind of frustrated because I feel like a lot of these people that have called in or texted in are like, Jared, she was mad about Isaiah Wilson.
Well, he got extended after Isaiah Wilson.
She was mad about Julio Jones. She was mad about Caleb Farley.
Got extended after Caleb Farley.
Farley's a little different, though. I think that when Farley, you know, like, this was kind of the prove-it year for Farley. Like, the Farley became officially a bust.
He got picked before he got extended, but still.
But became a bust after he got extended. So I'm going to say
but
that
it's not like Caleb Farley, to me, it didn't feel like Caleb Farley was on the road for, you know, success.
Oh, I didn't think that, but they did. Like, that was, but I remember the pre-draft press conference where Vrabel was like, oh, yeah, he won the award for best answers at the first OTA event. And they started him at corner at the beginning of training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So they believed. So Farley is in the this year category. Farley and the A.J. Brown trade are in this year's category, and then everything else is before he got extended. And if that's the case, that's a poorly run team. Like, that's what people don't get. I don't care about the Isaiah Wilson pick. Robinson screwed up on that. And I said at the time to Robinson and on the air, how? Like, how did that happen? How did you interview this guy, go through the draft process, and not realize that he was a total Looney Tune? Because how does that happen? And so it's not like we're ignoring that. But at the same time, just like you may be a poorly run drafter, if you can't pick people's personalities out with all the interviewing and questions you do, if your owner is so impulsive that she's going to nuke the season because Philadelphia fans are turning around and flipping her the bird, like, you're screwed. Like, you're screwed because there will be something that comes up in the future, and then she'll get involved in it, and she'll screw it up. And that's what scares me here. Like, I want competence. I thought she was competence. And in the Mike Sando article, it brings up all the other points about, you know, former Titans employee saying, this is like Bud Adams. I don't like hearing that. I mean, I love Bud Adams, but I don't want the team to be run like Bud Adams is in charge of the team. And so it's hard. It's hard to take this as a fan. You know, I mean, I don't know how these people do it that are in the media that aren't fans. Like, I get how, like, I understand how they operate their jobs and cover teams and things like that. But I have a hard time how you handle something like this if you're a fan of the team and you think about all the poorly run franchises in the NFL and when their owners get involved and how often the owner messes things up. And the fact that 2 weeks ago we all thought that this team had good, stable ownership, and now we think they have either reactive ownership or a power-greedy head coach, or all of those things, that unless it was misconduct for the Green Bay plane, there is no explanation that makes sense. And the NFL people in the Sando article, the former executives, the former general managers, they're telling us, like, hey, this is probably going to end up pretty poorly for the Titans.
That's why I don't want to count out the plane, because I think the plane scenario brings me more comfort moving forward. That there at least would be, the move was made because they had to make that move. That they were forced to by the league. That it was like, you know what? We used a lot of bad judgment a couple of weeks ago, but we're going to move forward. However,
That's not what people are saying.
I worry that that's not the case.
Joe Retro can call you stupid for having that take.
That's fine. Joe can call me stupid.
I mean, that's... But it is disappointing as a fan to see that, you know, people are looking at it. You know, a former Titans employee is saying, boy, that reminded me of Bud Adams or a current coach. The line from the current coach, I think, is the biggest thing, which is, you know, if it's not Vrabel, if the major player is the majority owner, she dropped the hammer on a guy who, by all accounts, is doing no better or worse than any of the other guys who have been in the league as long as he has. What is her angle? What is she not happy with? Where does she see it going? If the owner is not happy and is trying to do something bigger, it's different. Theoretically, even Vrabel could be on the outs if this person is unhappy. Boy. And I'll say this about Vrabel. If you win a power struggle, generally speaking, you're probably going to be pretty happy about it. Vrabel has not seemed overly excited the last week since all this went down. Now, maybe he's a great actor, but I don't know what to make of it other than the fact that it feels like the reality is this is bad. 615-737-1025. Speaking of fans and firings, and Mike Vrabel decided he's going to do exactly what you all don't want him to do. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, and your phones, of course. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love my friends at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We're at Bridgestone Arena. They got that Happy Hiller logo right there on the ice. My friends at Hiller are giving away cash for the holidays, and they're celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. Hiller wants to make sure every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year, so they're donating $50 in toys for Toys for Tots with every tankless water heater purchase, and giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems, or get a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. They have more details online at happyhiller.com. As always, Happy will be here. The service is free, and these deals are only available until the end of the year, so schedule today. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers, the Vanderbilt Commodores, and, of course, the National Predators. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
Three and out 10 times coming out of halftime. During this three-game losing streak, you've had negative 33 yards on the opening drive of the third quarter. Is that a failure to adjust coming out of halftime? What's going wrong?
No, we had some egregious penalties and mistakes. So, I mean, it's first and 22, give up a sack, and third and 27, and we don't block for a screen that nobody's going to convert, but hopefully we can help the punt team and get the screen started so then we can use our punter to maybe change field position. So
for the season on 10 there's,
you know, evaluating, you know, everything. It's execution. It's our ability to coach them and make sure that the details are fixed. And, you know, it's just not one thing.
So that was Mike Vrabel yesterday. Apparently, Mike Vrabel went on his coach's radio show and said yesterday that he is not making any changes to the coaching staff during the season. Now, I was minding my business, and I got a bad back, so I'm sitting there kind of minding my business on the couch, and I see that Mike Vrabel is not going to make any coaching staff changes, to which I wasn't surprised by, but the reaction on Twitter was like, what? What? No, he's not going to make any countdown. He's not going to, oh my God, what's up? And I think it's the same people that are like, fire the general manager. We're not going in the right direction, even though we only lost by 4 points to the defending AFC champions 2 weeks ago. Yeah! I think it's that guy that's equally as mad that Vrabel is not firing Todd Downing in the middle of the season. Were you surprised by that?
About not making a coaching change in the middle of the season?
But by Vrabel saying, and I don't know the context of what he said, I just know that he said on his radio show yesterday.
But saying that he is not going to make a coaching change in the middle of
the
season.
Any coaching changes to the staff?
No changes. No, that doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
No, not at all.
Two, would it even be the right move to do that?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. What good would that do other than satisfying all of the hashtag fire Todd Downing brigade out there? What good does that really do to bring in a new offensive coordinator in the middle of the season?
Well, I think I was looking at it as more like the whole coaching staff than I just was the coordinator. I think most people probably looked at it as the offensive coordinator.
Obvious one.
I mean, I'm looking at
the
special teams.
You're looking at Craig Aukerman?
I'm looking at the special teams coach.
I mean,
either. Special teams ain't worth a damn and hasn't been worth a damn for years. And even yesterday they gave up, or Sunday, they gave up an opening kickoff to start the second half for a touchdown, and which got negated by what really wasn't a holding goal. And so, I mean, I think the special teams is a freaking joke.
But also,
and
I feel
do think somebody new in special teams could make a change right away. So that, I actually think, could matter. The offensive coordinator, I heard in Green Bay from somebody I trust, I heard that Vrabel's the one calling the plays on offense. Now, I don't know if, you know, Vrabel calls them all or if Downing calls some or if Vrabel says, you know, during a play, hey, on the next play, let's run 29 gumbo, or I don't know how that all works. But I heard Vrabel's calling the plays. So when you all get mad at Todd Downing, and I get mad at Todd Downing too, for a direct snap to the running back down by 19 points.
Because that's stupid.
That's coming from Vrabel. And if it's not coming from Vrabel, then Vrabel was on the headset when they called it, and Vrabel has the authority to overrule it. And so, I mean, I think there will be coaching staff changes at the end of the year. I mean, I think what happens big picture with this organization at the end of the year is a complete and total wild card. I think there will be coaching staff changes at the end of the year. I do not foresee Todd Downing as the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans entering the 2023 season. Don't see it. That being said, I think the reason why Vrabel could confidently go on his radio show and say no coaching changes is because he probably went to Amy and said, look, after you've made this last change, we saw what ended up happening to the team with the distraction and all the talk and everything else. We got to have stability. We got to have everybody coming in doing the same job every day, at least for the rest of the season. Like, at least give me that. And she probably agreed to it. And so that's how he probably could definitively go up there and say no coaching changes the rest of the year. Because if this is like the A.J. Brown trade, where it's not as long as I'm the coach, and then Amy Adams Strunk gets mad and they turn around and fire Todd Downing next week, then Vrabel will look like he has zero power. And that you talk about just wiping out all of his credibility. So I don't think it's an accident that Vrabel went out of his way to say no coaching changes. I don't think it really makes a difference at this point if they make a change at the coordinator position or not.
Why?
Because I heard Vrabel's calling the plays. So if Vrabel's calling the plays, then what's firing Todd Downing going to do?
But I also think, okay, what's the extent? And I know we don't know the answer to that question, but is it, yeah, Vrabel's calling plays, as in Vrabel's calling like four or five plays a game? Or is it Vrabel is calling every single play, which honestly, I can't really expect that he is, but maybe I'm wrong. I think that's a question to ask first. And then you could also say you fire Todd Downing in the middle of the season, Tim Kelly calls plays the rest of the season.
If Vrabel's
There's not that much of a shakeup.
If Vrabel's calling the plays, that is such a freaking clown show, if that's what's going on. And I was told that's what's going on from somebody I trust in Green Bay. That Vrabel's calling the plays. And if that's true.
How would the person in Green Bay know?
Well, I mean, it wasn't somebody who lives in Green Bay that told me that.
But somebody told you
somebody
when
told
you
me
were
when
in
I
Green
was
Bay.
In Green Bay. Somebody told me that Vrabel's calling the plays. And, I mean, if that's true, what a clown show. All right, phones. 615-737-1025. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have in our text line, Caroline?
One texter texts in and says, I will defer and agree with Coach Mack's take on the Jags loss.
I'm going to assume that Dave McGinnis, who works for the Titans, did not have the same take that I had, in which it was that the owner told the team that they suck and the team had no confidence and played with distractions last week and lost to the Jags. I'm going to assume that Dave McGinnis, who works for the Titans, and I love Dave McGinnis, but I'm going to assume that he didn't have that take?
Probably not.
You don't think that somebody who worked for the Titans blamed the owner for the loss?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying that Dave McGinnis is wrong, but we just had Willie Donick yelling and screaming in the last hour of the midday show about something I didn't even know happened, apparently, yesterday.
I just walked in yelling.
Willie was just yelling, and I didn't even know what it was about. Apparently, Lindsey Rally, you know, got smart with people on Twitter about how they don't know anything compared to the coaches or whatever, and it's like, I mean, guys. Like, it's a team broadcast. Like, this is...
It worked for the team.
This is what the players' parents watch. Like, they're not going to get on there and say, Johnny Joe sucks. I mean, I've never seen in my entire life, and this includes, like, even the skip carries and the Marty Brennemans and the Harry Carries and the guys that, you know, back in the day, people used to be able to get away with saying things. I have never, ever, ever, ever seen a team broadcaster be like, I didn't need to fire the coach. I've never seen that before. And so, I mean, you know,
because
again.
In a roundabout way, they're colleagues.
They're not in a roundabout way, in a direct way. Like, I mean, you said that Vrabel called a town hall for the people that sell tickets last week to pep rally up the boys. What's next?
Travis Texan says, with the misconduct take, does that negate his extension?
That would be if there was misconduct that led to John Robinson's firing, coming back from, you know, whether it's the Green Bay plane or whatever kind of misconduct it would be that we haven't heard of. I don't know. I haven't seen his extension. So my guess would be this. If it was misconduct and they fired him for it, they probably paid him anyways. Like, and I don't even know why anybody would care about that. Like, it's not your money.
Well, maybe just trying to get to the bottom of what happened.
I mean, so the idea of like, yeah, screw him out of his thing. If the Titans don't want anybody to know, and it is clear that the Titans don't want anybody to know, then they probably pay him his money, have him sign what's called a non-disclosure agreement. Nobody talks about it, and on you go. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, add the assistant coaches. Vrabel is not changing the assistant coaches. Add that. We'll get back to your phones. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
Second sack today by the Jacksonville defense, and now it's 3rd and 27. Second three and out today by the Titans offense.
I mean, I wonder if Andrew Catalan on that CBS broadcast, if he could have said yesterday when Vrabel went on his radio show and said that there's going to be no coaching staff changes, i.e. they're not firing Todd Downing, Andrew Catalan could have been like, and Vrabel said on his radio show no coaching changes and the fans are going to hate this.
Boo. There you go.
Exactly. What do we have in the phone line? 615-737-1025.
Ethan Texan says that if it was for some misconduct from Green Bay, then why wouldn't they have fired Downing too?
Because the Downing thing is different than the guy who's in charge. The Todd Downing thing is Todd Downing got a DUI. He's not going to be the last guy in the history of America who gets a DUI. He's not going to be the last guy in football who gets a DUI. And honestly, he's probably not going to be the last guy in football who gets a DUI this season. That is a legal thing. I mean, I'm sure he'll plead to something and he'll do some community service or something. And then the league will suspend him. And then, honestly, he probably won't even be with the Titans by the time the league comes down and suspends him, because I think Todd Downing is getting fired at the end of the year. That is different than, hey, you were in charge of this and our investigation found that. And you said when we asked you, you said this. And then we have this text message right here that says that you lied to us. And again, the difference here is that John Robinson, to the best of our knowledge, didn't get fired for cause. And so if he doesn't get fired for cause, then they have to pay him. Well, if it's bad or the owner feels lied to, then you pay him to go away. That's the difference. They're not the same things here. Again, it's if there's some sort of misconduct by the guy who is in charge. Think about it like this. College sports, back when you couldn't pay the players. Mm-hmm. Player gets paid, right? Coach gets fired. Well, why doesn't the player get in trouble? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's next?
You go to the top. You're not going to like this one.
Give it to me.
Texture says, here we go again. This is why you are so stupid. No. You say for years that John is bad and maybe there needs to be a change.
Whoa. When did I say that?
You have never said that. I can attest to that. You have never said that John Robinson should be fired.
Thank you.
And then they make one and you backtrack and say, oh, was this the right choice? Should they have done this? Yes, they should have fired him. It's her company and she can do what she wants.
Yeah, so if she wants to run it into the ground.
That's her choice.
Which is what looks like is, I mean, again, the Mike Sando column in The Athletic. Mike Sando has been covering football for like 50 years or however long he's been doing it. I mean, The Athletic, who is like $500 million in the hole, paid a boatload of money to get Mike Sando to come to The Athletic from ESPN so they could basically use his sources. Like, this isn't like Adam Schefter who's racing out there to get news. Mike Sando talks to people off the record, and they're able to be honest with him and more coy with him because they know that their name is not going to be put to it. And then they put it out, and then he puts it out there. And that's why we, every summer, get the quarterback tears. And, oh, my God, can you believe Lamar Jackson is a Q3 quarter, you know, whatever you want to call it. And in this, every single person that he talked to said that what the Titans are doing is stupid. And that's the problem, is that these people across the league, they don't care about the Titans. Like, you want to look at it like Amy Adams Strunk is entitled to do whatever she wants to do. And I'm not saying she can't do that. I have never argued that she does not have the authority to do what she did.
Todd Downing has the authority to call whatever place he wants to call, but clearly the fan base is not using that argument in that scenario.
That is if he's calling the plays.
Yes.
I've been told Vrabel's calling the plays for whatever you want, but Vrabel has authority too. But again, it goes back to, you know, I'm not challenging her authority on being able to hire whoever she wants, but it's just like this executive. You know, an unnamed league executive. So somebody who's currently in the NFL said to Mike Sando, quote, "It hardly ever works when someone is the power coach. You can make the case Vrabel hasn't coached long enough to learn the intricacies of personnel, player acquisition, trade, and free agent markets, not to mention the salary cap and all the other things that GMs do that go way beyond the draft. Everyone will say he's going to get help, but this is a classic, only the people I trust." So all these people are like, oh, yeah, this is a bad direction to go down now. Or the other one, the current coach, who said that even Vrabel could be on the hot seat if the owner is such a wild card.
I don't like that.
So that's the point, is that, I mean, she's entitled to do whatever she wants. We're not arguing that she has the authority to do it, but we are arguing that it's not the smart thing to do. What's next?
Chuck Dixon says, so Jared, your answer would be they should have kept Robinson and kept letting him screw up first and second round picks, keep letting him throw money at bad free agents.
So I think people don't understand that they're not holding the 2023 NFL draft today. So that there's not a, you know, if you don't fire John Robinson today, then he will mess up next year's draft. I think we all understand how the calendar works, right? And so we know that there is no draft this week.
No,
there's no draft next week. There's no draft next month. There's no, none of it. These people are like, he had messed up enough first round picks. It was time for him to go. You're in the middle of your season. That's why nobody understands why the Titans did what they did. That's why nobody gets it. We talked about it all day yesterday, and it is the message that you may not want to hear or you may think is true. But the message to the team is you suck. If that is why they fire John Robinson is because they didn't like, quote unquote, the direction of the team. What that means is the direction of the team, i.e. the players, team. That they're no good. And so all those players in there are like, man, we thought we were having an okay season and we were in first place and, you know, battling through some injuries and now they tell us we suck, and now we don't even know who's in charge around here. And now we have to go out and play Justin Herbert and the Chargers that just lit up Miami and all of those things. And that is Looney Tune land, is what dumb teams do. And not even dumb teams do this. That's what makes it crazy. And you all want to talk about first and second round picks. He's not picking anybody in the first and second round between now and the end of the season. And you know that.
And I will continue to go back to this because I believe that a lot of fans conveniently to leave out this fact whenever somebody has the same take as that. It is John Robinson got extended after a lot of failed bad first-round picks, second-round picks, and bad free agent signings. He got an extension after Isaiah Wilson. He got an extension after Julio Jones. So you cannot continue to use Julio Jones and Isaiah Wilson as reasons why John Robinson got fired.
I mean, what this is, the only people that like what the Titans did, and by what I mean by the decision they made and or the timing of it. The only people that like this are the people who stand in front of their TV and they get mad in the first half of a game and talk about firing the coach and the general manager, and then by the second half, if the Titans come back, they don't care. They've changed their tune. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what that
it's
is.
It's convenient.
It is the anger that they have in the moment of fire the general manager. And that's what people talk to me about, like, the difference between the Titans and the Preds. And I'm like, the Preds, you know, the season was over, and then we said, okay, now it's time. The season's over. They've got cap space. They've got a massive decision to make on Philip Forsberg. They've got to figure out the future of their team. They got to figure out what kind of players they want for the future of their team. It's time. Change the coach, change the GM, start it over. And the Predators are like, nah, we're good. But that's different. I'm not saying that they should fire David Poile today. I don't think that does them any good. And even then, there's still a trade deadline to come up here in which there could be massive decisions. It did the Titans no good to tell the players that you don't like the team going into that Jags game. And they got their asses kicked. So I think I was right about it. And I'm the only person that picked the Jags. 615-737-1025. The coach is here. Coach Bob Shoop. All right, what did the film say? We will get to that with Coach Bob Shoop next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.